The opinions expressed in the Keeping It Sporty podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode of the Keeping It Sporty podcast. As always, you can listen to us on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, or on our website at keepingitsporty.com. On today's episode, I am joined by a very special guest. He's a writer for Sportsnet who has had quite the journey in the sport media industry. He is also a professor at Toronto Metropolitan University at the sport media program, which is where I attend as well. And I've been lucky enough to have him as a professor for a journalism class. I welcome to the show Sunny Sakdeva. Sunny, how's it going?
Not too bad. Thanks for having me.
No, the pleasure is all mine. Thank you for coming on today. So, Sunny, I wanted to start off with this. How did you get your start in the sport media industry?
Yeah, actually, it's interesting. It was kind of never, it was never really the plan, to be honest. I was, when I was younger, I was really focused on the music industry, working a lot kind of in that world. And then doing my undergrad in Calgary at the U of C, kind of like very randomly, I started a conversation with somebody in a class about sports, and he ended up being the sports editor of the U of C's paper, The Gauntlet. So I think this was maybe my second year of undergrad. And he was like, oh, why don't you write a piece for, you know, the paper about, I think we were talking about like the favorites for the Hart Trophy or something. This was like, you know, a million years ago. Yeah, and then started, you know, wrote that piece and then just kind of caught the bug and, you know, kept rolling. So then in Calgary, I started covering the Flames a little bit for kind of some random website in the States that got me credentialed. You know, worked at the U of C's paper, and then from there went to Toronto to do my master's in journalism at TMU. Through that, started my, you know, career at Sportsnet. I was an intern at Hockey Night on the TV side, then went over to the writing side and was on the news desk and moved up to, you know, different role, and now to my position as a staff writer there. So yeah, it's kind of a wild, unexpected journey, but it's worked out, I guess.
So you have more than a decade of experience contributing to projects as a reporter, editor, analyst, producer, even songwriter, as you mentioned as well. Out of all of these sort of incredible different pathways, what was the process behind you wanting to pursue writing as a career? And I mean, what do you think stands out to you as a writer, at least?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think I find like now the way I think of myself is that I'm just a writer. So, you know, sometimes I write songs, sometimes I write, you know, stories on sports, sometimes other things. And at the beginning, it was kind of, you know, again, I think I was super focused on songwriting for a long time. And still do, like my writing partner that I kind of grew up writing with, he's in LA releasing stuff. So I still write with him. But I think when I first got a chance to write my first few stories in journalism, I found that it actually it kind of works a very similar muscle. Like when you're writing songs, you're kind of writing these short packets that are going out like frequently, right? And so with journalism, it felt like a similar thing where you get to kind of write a thing and be creative, and then it comes out very quickly and you like move on to the next thing. You kind of always have different projects. So I think that kind of really appealed to me, and it actually felt like a better fit, I think, in terms of how I write and the parts of writing that I really enjoy. Like in the songwriting side, I was always more, you know, we would write lots of parts of the songs together, but my like most loved part was always the lyrics, right? So for writing, you know, stories and features and you know, especially feature writing, I think was the thing that really got me into it the most. You get to kind of do that poetic line writing, and you get to do like, you know, a little bit of what you would write if you wrote like a novel, because you get to write scenes, but you also get to talk to interesting people, and you know, you get to kind of write dramatic things, you know. So yeah, I think that's kind of what hooked me at the beginning.
Now, what would you say you love most about your job, and maybe a little bit of a challenging aspect?
Yeah, I think what I love most is, I guess just the freedom to to tell people's stories, right? I mean, it's kind of a beautiful thing to be able to, where I'm at now, find somebody whose story I feel like is worth telling and I feel like is interesting. Like my favorite stories are often the ones about kind of, community programs or, grassroots sports stuff. Like, those I think are the best, and it feels in those moments that you're kind of shining a light on important work that otherwise wouldn't get noticed, right? Like one of my favorite features I've written is about a nonprofit in the Rio Grande Valley. So it's like the south of Texas and north of Mexico, and this hockey community that kind of like goes back and forth over the border. And it was just like a really beautiful story to be able to tell. So it's exciting, I think, to tell those kinds of stories and just to have the freedom to, keep doing that and finding new stories. And it's kind of, every day and week is kind of completely different because you're telling new stories. And I think on the other side, the challenging part is probably a little bit of that too, that you kind of, you always have to have new stuff. So you when your role as a writer and you're kind of tasked with producing stuff, you always have to be making sure you're coming up with ideas and holding yourself to a high standard in terms of the work you're producing, and you really have to get into a rhythm of being able to do that kind of week after week, month after month. So I think that it comes with the territory. So I embrace that challenge and I enjoy that challenge, but it's definitely it's not easy all the times for all the time for sure.
Well, yeah, I was going to ask you. I mean, do you ever find it, I guess, challenging and sort of have that writer's block that you just really can't get the words out to a story, or do you ever find it a challenge to be sometimes the most creative, or write in the most creative way possible, would you say?
Yeah, I think, I mean, honestly, not that much, just because you kind of just like have to do it at this point for me. Like it's like you have a deadline, you kind of just like have to write the story. So I find like there are definitely times in the middle of summer or something when the sports schedule is very quiet, when it's far more difficult to be able to come up with good ideas and come up with stories that you're going to be passionate about and that kind of thing. But I mean, that's the beautiful thing about sports is there's like an endless number of stories, right? And there's like an endless number of kind of really interesting stories that haven't been told yet. So I don't find I guess stuck in that sense. And even with writer's block, I don't know. Like I think again, when you have the deadline and you kind of have to do it, you get into a rhythm of once you start, you kind of get rolling. But I definitely find when I'm doing a bigger feature, like a longer profile, I have like a standard I hold myself to of wanting it to be, written at a certain level, and the scene to be a certain level of creative and powerful or whatever. So sometimes it is, depending on what else is going on in your life and stuff, sometimes there's a thing there where you have to kind of be real with yourself about like, oh, I could probably write this scene better, or I could write the opening of this piece better. And you have to like really push through that and figure that out. And I think that's kind of the biggest part of being in a position where you're writing full time is figuring out how to like get over those hurdles.
Yeah, and I guess that's something that sort of comes with more experience. I mean, as you continue writing stories and you go on in your career, I guess that's kind of something you just figure out along the way.
Yeah, I definitely when I first started writing features for Sportsnet, which was maybe, I don't know, like 5, 6 years ago or something, definitely each one was a lot harder to just get my head around. And yeah, like the more, even like interviewing every part of it, the more you do it, a lot of it feels more natural. And then I think that also makes it easier to kind of push yourself further to be more creative and kind of, write at a higher level or whatever it may be, because some of those other parts feel more natural because now you've kind of done it like a million times,
And so sticking on that theme now about sort of storytelling, what has been maybe your favorite story to write about?
Yeah, it is hard. That one I mentioned about the Rio Grande Valley, I really loved because it was just a really interesting story, right? Like a lot of There's kind of different kinds of stories that stand out to you. Sometimes it's, just like the people you talk to are the interviews go really well and you feel like a real connection. Or, this one, it was kind of both. It was like that happened, and also the story was just like very interesting of this community in, Mexico, where there was this doctor who had been inspired by the Mighty Ducks film, and he kind of started this like community of hockey lovers, and just going across the border. It was like a really wonderful thing. But yeah, there have been a bunch. Like, I wrote a feature on the Nolan family, like Ted Nolan and his two sons, where it was kind of telling all three of their stories and how they kind of intertwined. And yeah, it's hard to pick, but there have been a bunch of the long form stories that have were very hard to write because there was like so much material and they were like giant projects. But in the end, it's like you feel very privileged to have been able to help tell those people's story.
Yeah, you feel that sort of gratification, I guess, or gratitude towards that story once you've finished it. Now, what's your favorite place that you've sort of traveled to, maybe to cover a game, would you say?
Ooh, I don't know. I really liked, I did a really cool story in Montreal, where basically there's a guy named Marco Argentino who is his role is really interesting. He works for CCM and he's essentially like the custom gear technician. So all the CCM athletes like Crosby and all these guys, McDavid, he's the guy that customizes their gear to their exact specifications. Which is obviously like a very interesting, and he's like a genius with, gear and stuff. So I wrote this story about him because his dad was like a shoemaker, a shoe craftsman, in Italy growing up. And then they started this shop like decades and decades ago in Montreal, where the Canadiens and like, the heyday back in the day would come, and Guy Carboneau and all these guys would come get their skates. Customized by Marco's dad, and from that he learned the craft and then became, what he became. So it was really cool to go there and see the shop. It wasn't a game, but to go and see the shop and meet his father and kind of, kind of be in the history of that. And that was also probably another one of my favorite stories because, again, it was just such a strange, interesting story to tell, and it was cool to kind of just like be immersed. And we got to go to CCM's office and see where they do all the gear stuff, and to kind of be immersed in like this whole other side of the game you don't think about that much was definitely interesting.
Yeah, sometimes it's not the games, I guess, themselves, but there's hidden stories everywhere. It's just depending on where you look. So it's certainly interesting, definitely. What would you say some advice is now you can give to future generations of writers, not even necessarily sport writers, but they could be sport writers as well, and just the sport mediums in general, would you say?
Yeah, I think, there's two things. I think generally for going into media of any kind or journalism of any kind, I've always found it's very important to find your niche and kind of find your lane. And I think if you go in kind of being like, I'm open to doing anything, like it takes time to find that. So at the beginning, everybody's kind of like that. But I think the people that are able to kind of carve out a career at some point kind of identify like this is the thing I'm good at, but this is the thing that, most importantly, I'm most passionate about, and I could see myself, dedicating myself to as a craft, whether it's, for me that was long form writing. For other people, it's, radio or TV or, covering games or whatever it might be. And I think once you kind of find that, you can hone in on it and really set yourself apart. And that kind of brings me to my other thing for writing specifically, but I think for whatever it is you're doing in media, I think it's so important to really treat it as a craft and really work at honing that craft, right? Like, I think with writing, there's a lot of people I think in sports media, sports journalism in general, who maybe don't pay enough attention to writing as a craft and like really, reading good writing and taking that in and thinking about why a story moved you, or thinking about, and it doesn't have to be a feature, but even like a game story, right? Like thinking about If you read whatever you feel is the best version of that, what is it about that that moved you? What is it about that that was so effective? And how can I learn to do that, right? So I think it's so important to treat it like a craft and like a skill that you kind of intentionally develop over time, as opposed to kind of just kind of going into it and working hard and seeing what happens. I think it's important to kind of be focused on really improving at what you're doing every day.
Yeah, very important that you mentioned finding your niche. I totally agree, and sort of just getting your feet wet everywhere, for lack of a better term. I mean, just getting out there and sort of getting better at these sorts of things, writing and on air and everything. I think those are important for sure that you brought that up. Moving sort of into my final question, a bit of a fun question. So you've had a variety of guest speakers come to the class last semester. You had Donovan Bennett, and you had Chris Johnston, Evan Rosser, your senior editor at Sportsnet, of course. And this question came up a fair bit in our class. So I wanted to know now, just to have it on the record, who is the most famous contact in your folk?
Yeah, this was talked about a lot
We
in the
spoke a lot
class.
about that. So now I'm curious
Yeah.
about you. Yeah.
I mean, I do have obviously lots of like NHL people for nowhere near as impressive as, Chris Johnston or Donovan, but I do have Leon Draisaitl's German number, which I'm very proud of. And that was actually from a really cool story I wrote about Adler Mannheim, which is a German hockey program, where like Draisaitl and Stützle and Mo Sider, all these guys all came through the same program. So had a really good chat with Draisaitl for that story about his time there, and it was crazy because and it's so interesting in the NHL. Like there are so many people that are so down to earth and so kind of generous with their time and everything. And when I interviewed him, I'm pretty sure it was actually the year he like won MVP. It was like a massive season for him. But he just like called me and we had a great talk about this thing and it was a great conversation. And there have been a bunch of the Penguins guys too. I wrote a story about Crosby, what it's like to be Crosby's linemate, and a bunch of those guys just like called me on their phones and we had a great chat. So yeah, I'd say, I guess, Leon would probably be the one, but I'm sure there's, a bunch of random NHL guys in there.
Now, what about broadcaster wise here? I'm just a little curious, you know. I might have to make you think about this for a second.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, honestly, it might be CJ, Chris Johnson,
No, that's
or
fair,
like,
yeah.
or Elliot. Obviously, Elliot and CJ have both been really great to me since I started at Sportsnet, and I think they're very supportive of young writers and young people trying to make it in the field. So yeah, those are numbers that have been cherished and helpful over the years for sure.
Well, you mentioned a lot of people are good and willing to give your time or their time to you as well, and I want to echo that back, and I want to thank you for giving your time to me today. So thank you for coming on.
For sure. No, thanks for having me. It was a great chat.
Okay, great. Well, listen, take care and continued success in the industry.
For sure. Same to you. I'm sure we'll cross paths sometime soon.
That'd be cool for sure. Take care.
Yeah.
You've been listening to the Keeping It Sporty podcast. Don't forget to listen to us on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, or on our website, keepingitsporty.com. And make sure to follow us on Instagram at Keeping It Sporty. That's KEEPIN, no G, it sporty, SPORTY. I've been your host, Elias Strakos. So long, and see you next time.